and having the destabilizing effect that is all too easy to imagine.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Steve Goose, director of Human Rights Watch's Arms Division and co-founder of the Campaign to Stop Killer Weapons. That does it for our show. We hope everyone will join us on Tuesday night, December 7th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, when we celebrate at democracynow.org our 25th anniversary. We'll be joined by the birthday boy, Noam Chomsky himself. That's right, December 7th will be his 93rd birthday. We'll also be joined by Angela Davis, Arundhati Roy, the National Book Award-winning poet, Martina Spada, Winona LaDuke, Danny DeVito, Danny Glover, and more. You can go to democracynow.org for details. That's December 7th at 8 p.m. Eastern. I'm Amy Goodman. Stay safe. Wearing a mask is an act of love.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Can't get good reception of KBOO on your radio? Just type in www.kboo.fm on your PC or laptop and click on Listen Live. We're just a mouse click away.
Good morning, and you are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I am Cecil Prescott, and if you are listening, then you are listening at 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, Albany, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO.FM. Today is Tuesday, the 6th of December. The year is 2021, and those of you who are residents of Willamette Valley, it is a beautiful, wet, raining morning. So make sure that you are prepared when you step out of your homes for the beautiful, rainy, and wet morning. Watch out for those puddles. They are deceiving. They may be deeper than you suspect. So watch your steps as you hop over the puddles. As I mentioned, today is the 6th of December, and we are broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, and as people prepare for this week, I hope you are prepared for your week and the things that you will encounter. May you be prepared and able to meet the challenges and the opportunities this week. Let me give you our phone numbers if you are would like to give us a call during this hour. You may call us at 503-231-8187. We would like to talk about a few things this morning, and I was awakened from my dogmatic slumber, if you will, as I listened to the radio program preceding our program, Democracy Now! Not only was I awakened by the report on drones that continue to kill innocent civilians, but also by the last segment on killing robots, almost. And that might be a topic we might want to talk about, the ongoing warfare, the permanent warfare that the United States is engaged in, not only in Afghanistan and in the countries surrounding Afghanistan, but in many, many countries throughout the world, the United States continue to continue to battle using artificial means, and that might be a topic we would like to talk about this morning. But first, you know, when Celeste mentioned this topic, I was very, very curious by what she meant for by that. So I thought I would ask a friend of mine if she had any ideas. So I said, Alexa, are you alive?
I'm not really alive, but I can be lively sometimes.
So I asked, Alexa, what is AI?
AI generally stands for artificial intelligence. As a branch of computer science research, AI is defined as the study of devices that perceive their environments and take actions that maximize their chance of success at some goal. More commonly, the term AI is used to describe when machines are seen as mimicking human cognitive functions such as learning and problem solving.
Okay.
Excellent. She passed.
With oh, okay.
Flying colors.
All right.
I was impressed. Ask Alexa, what are the three levels of AI?
Ooh, okay. Alexa, what are the three levels of AI?
Here's something I found on the web. According to pubfacts.com, AI is characterized by high levels of hepcidin, ferritin and IL-6, and low levels of iron, transferrin and erythroferrone.
Well.
And there is where she lost it.
Okay.
And the reason we're talking about AI, if you recall last week, I mentioned the need for us to look at where we are when Zuckerberg's domain changed to the metaverse. So it's no longer just Facebook. And I used to jokingly say, well, you know, why would you want to engage in Facebook? And bear in mind, first I was joking, you know, because I am on Facebook. And a lot of people are, and that's their primary means of communication with folks. But I preferred face-to-face because, well, a book is not live and interactive in the classic sense. And it's a face facsimile of, you know, interactions, and it's not real. So I wanted something that was live and in the moment. But Zuckerberg has taken it from that facsimile to a whole new level. And he immerses you in what he calls the metaverse, which is essentially our version of the Matrix from the movie series that was produced. I think it's a trilogy. It might be four of them now. Mm. And so in the movie, the protagonist is approached by a leader, a community leader, and told that they have the option to take, you know, a pill that was going to wake them up and bring them into the real reality instead of the virtual reality, which is a play on words to me, because remember when virtual meant real?
Yes.
The premise was, if you took one pill, you'd stay in the delusion. If you took the other pill, you would awaken and you would have some measure of autonomy and self-awareness and self-agency. And there it was. And I know people, when they heard me say that's what we were going to speak of, were probably laughing. But I want to posit this. You're already in the Matrix. And here are some reasons why. When you call your bank and they say, hello, please press number 1 for English, number 2 for Spanish. And that's your option. And then when you press whatever number works for you, it says, okay, our menu service may have changed. Please listen and push this number for what you want. And then it sorts through. Sometimes you hear this little noise. Sometimes you don't hear anything. Sometimes you hear what seems to be a warm human voice.
Yes.
Okay. And you press this and you press accordingly until you get where you want to go. That is AI. If you don't do your online or telephone banking, but you call the library and it routes you in a similar fashion, that is AI. When you have your phone, your TV service, and you want to watch a streaming show, and you push the button on the remote and you speak into it and you say, give me detective shows with people who are living in a rural environment, and it sorts through shows, that's AI, y'all. So you are in the matrix. It does not mean that you have to have a smart thermometer, a smartphone, a smart car, a smart refrigerator, a doorbell. No, if you engage in any measure of life just about nowadays, you are engaging in AI. And the frightening thing is that it has affected us in ways so insidiously. And yeah, I'm going to say insidious because, you know, on one hand, you got Zuckerberg talking about, yeah, come on, y'all, in the metaverse because that's where I want you. Mm-hmm. And then you got Elon Musk saying AI and all that stuff is dangerous. Oh, but all the while, he's built a robot.
Yes.
You know, and don't forget, this robot is strong, but you can outrun it. That still speaks to a certain measure of ableism, though. And it begs the question, how long will we be able to outrun it? But anyway, let me get back to my point. The point is, you're already in the matrix. So what are you going to do? How are you going to deal with that? Are you going to be one of these people who digs your head even deeper into the ground and say, no, I'm not? You know, those are commonly... and both lovingly and derisively called Luddites, but are you going to embrace it? And if you embrace it, here's the next question: to what end? How much? Because you can be like the Joe Pantoliano character who says, well, just put me back in the matrix and make me rich. Okay? Make me rich. And so you just think, well, you know, I'll go along to get along. Or do you decide that you're going to take the red pill and wake up? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes.
It's up to you. But the truth is, it's not really up to us. What it is how are you going to navigate in this air matrix? Because there are places where you can't pay with plastic. I mean, with cash. You have to pay with plastic. There are services that won't let you access their online portals, even though they push you that way, without maybe you having a Facebook or some other kind of account. Mm-hmm. And so you're becoming more and more enmeshed, maybe against your will, but nonetheless there you are. So my questions for people today is, you know, red pill, blue pill first, and then, you know, what are you going to do? How are you going to navigate the fact that red pill, blue pill is almost irrelevant and you're already in the matrix, and how you work with the fact that we are being slowly but surely consumed and absorbed into the metaverse?
Our numbers here are 503-231-8187, and if you call, you will hear the voice of not a robot, but a human person.
Yes.
Indeed. Again, 503-231-8187. And before we take our callers, Celeste, you mentioned Elon Musk, and I would suggest that people might want to read the New York Times today, there's an article about Elon Musk entitled Inside Tesla as Elon Musk Pushes an Unflinching Vision for Self-Driving Cars.
AI. One of the things, too, I want to make sure, you know, so we can get some different people on. If you don't use the technology and you strive very hard, we appreciate your position, but that's not where we are today. This call is about people who know that this is the life that they're going to have to navigate. You know, I know there are a lot of people who try to stay off the grid as much as possible, and they communicate by low-tech. And low-tech is cool. I love it. But I really want to hear from people who are dealing with this today. So, you know, give us a call. And we're also shouting out to our younger listeners, you know, our Gen Z, our millennials, our Gen Xers, all of them, because you're in it. So let's go to our first caller this morning. Good morning, Cody.
Good morning, Cecil and Celeste.
Good morning.
How's it going?
It's going good.
Good.
Just listening to you guys, and you said, how are we going to work and navigate this?
Mm-hmm.
We could become Luddites. I mean, me personally, I'm navigating it to where I better do my homework. It's almost like you almost have to become a hacker to have some level of privacy constitutionally in this country.
Yes.
And if you don't do your homework, it's on us. I have a couple of friends who bought like certain cell phones that had certain functions on them, but they only work internationally and they don't work in the United States.
Yeah.
And no one's told them about this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you say we're already in the Matrix. I've had conversations with some friends concerning the Matrix and about AI. And you brought up some issues with AI. There are different AIs, there are different levels of AI.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're focusing on AI, right? No one sees AI as a sock puppet.
Yes, we do.
No one's brought it up. It's like I see AI and I'm looking at AI, but I'm an adult and I see the arm that's in AI that's actually like the algorithms.
Right? Yeah, right. But who's putting up the algorithms even?
No one talks about that.
You know what else? But wait, let me stop you here because you might have an answer to my question because I got one just like yours. Okay, people know that bit mining is how you get cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
And bit mining is when you solve arithmetic or mathematic problems.
Right.
They never say what those problems are and what they are for, what those equations are trying to solve. I have been digging, you know, because they're just part of a larger picture. What the hell is that larger picture?
Well, the larger picture with that specifically with those algorithms is there's an end to it. It doesn't go into perpetuity.
Right. Yeah. But I want to know what is that? What is the end? What is it for? What is it making these calculations or solving these equations for?
Well, generally speaking, those algorithms for Bitcoin are set up in such a way to where you can't program the system to go any further than it can. And the algorithms are set up basically to say, look, this is the limit, and it's not going to go any further. At some point, that particular Bitcoin will stop, and it will not go any further.
Okay, that's all well and good, but it still doesn't say what the... Okay, when you're in school and they tell you to solve for X...
Okay, I understand.
You see what I say? Yeah, you know, or like when I was a nurse and I had to use...
Well, you're getting into doom territory.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I'm just saying, you're getting into doom territory. And there are some
Having read the book as a teenager, I get you on that. Okay.
Yeah, well, as I grow older and I grow wiser, I pick up a lot of the old books that I read before and I'm catching a lot of the highballs.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I'm catching a lot of them. And it's the sock puppet. No one, it's like, I hate it when my friends say, oh, the corporations. I'm going, well, no, it's not the corporations. It's not the corporations. Let's say the corporate chairman who controlled bylaws.
Mm-hmm.
There's human beings behind this.
Yeah.
You know, I say the chairman. I say the chairman of these corporations that are doing this. They're the one, because a corporation is just a piece of paper. Yes. And AI doesn't work unless someone's actually writing the script.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
And I want to know the human beings. You know,
yeah.
Like I say, you know, I could tell I'm talking to a couple of nerds. I'm a nerd too. You know, and I've had conversations with people to where they say, "Oh, AI," when they were talking about Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, I looked in the Matrix, and the AI became so intelligent, it flipped on the humans, right? I don't think it'll ever get to that, because, you know, there'll always be a kill switch, and there is this insidious relationship between humans and computers that no one's really talking about.
Mm-hmm.
No one's saying, okay, I'm looking at the sock puppet here. Who are the people who are making this thing?
Yes.
You know, it's like you said earlier, I prefer a face-to-face conversation. And I'm going, yeah. I mean, in a social media world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, that was before we had a pandemic. You know where I'm going with this?
Well, no, I want to hear it.
Okay. We have a pandemic, and they're putting a lot of forced isolation. What do you call it?
When mm-hmm.
you
get,
yes.
What do you call it? They
isolation. In quarantine, they used to call it quarantine.
Well, yes. It is kind of a quarantine. It's a permeable okay. membrane, but semi-permeable, but it's still quarantine.
It's still quarantine,
mm-hmm.
and it is a type of isolation, whether it be with your family or by yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, here we live in a world where we have a social media world. We have Zuckerberg, and everyone knows about Zuckerberg. It's not very positive. And they're setting up the social media world, and now all of a sudden we conveniently have a pandemic that's been going on now. We're approaching 2 years now, aren't we?
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, come spring, about March. February, March, it'll be 2 years.
Okay. I'm just connecting the dots here. That's
mm-hmm.
all I'm doing. Because you said face-to-face, and mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 110% face-to-face. And there's limits to what any type of non-face-to-face communication can give us. So I'm thinking, well, you know, there's a human side of this that no one's really speaking about. And they say, oh, keep looking at the sock puppet. Look at the sock puppet.
Right.
Don't take your eyes off the sock puppet.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, I want to focus on the person whose hand's in that sock puppet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, AI to me, you know, I come from the South. East Coast, grew up in the Bible Belt, and we learned about this thing called the Tower of Babel,
mm-hmm.
and how it was supposed to unite humanity, much like the Matrix was, like AI is supposed to do,
mm-hmm. like Zuckerberg's initial and foundational premise: communication bring us all together.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, there are too many human issues that we haven't really solved yet before we could start playing with that type of, you know, invasive controlling technology, because what looks like jewelry today will probably turn into a shackle tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know, so
it, you know, the point is, though, we already have shackles, you know, and you hear people explaining that from, you know, everyday popular culture. And I'll pull up something like George Clinton, you know, P-Funk, by saying, think it ain't mm-hmm. illegal yet, you know, and to hire
right.
more, you know, hire more exalted premises, like, you know, like you're gonna serve somebody, you know.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're already shackled.
We live in a country that supposedly has a constitution, but we're actually living in like a country that has a constitution with de facto fiefdoms everywhere, right?
Yeah.
With the lords and the kings controlling their kingdoms, and,
mm-hmm.
and they're just look, it's. This is why I'm looking at everything, and I'm really questioning what's really going on. As a person who understands American history and what Harriet Tubman had to go through when she was trying to flee those slaves from the slaves,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not the difficulty she had dealing with the masters. She had that gun to keep those slaves in line to keep them from having doubts about their freedom.
Well, that too, plus, you know, warding off, you know, the paterollers. But you're right. I mean, those of us who've served in the military know that if you had somebody break ranks during a siege or run, and this sounds inhumane, folks, but think about what war is. What's humane about war? You know, if somebody broke ranks and ran because they were afraid or mutinous or whatever, you didn't reason with them. You shot them.
Right. And why did you do that, though?
You did that to let everybody else know, stay in line.
Fear is infectious. And yes. When you see one person running in one direction, this instinct takes over and everybody wants to run out of the room. So now we're dealing with fear. Now we're dealing with everyone's needs for security and how everybody's... I ask myself, in today's society, does the United States citizen deserve a document called the United States Constitution? And is it even appreciated? Because there are people who don't read history and they don't understand the dangerous area that we're playing with right now. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are saying, yes, I'm going there. I love AI. I'm working with this, and AI is all I want. And like the brown shirts and like the SA, we end up with a night of the long knives, and the very people who sold out end up getting eaten.
Well,
This is history.
Well.
Like Mark Twain said, history may not repeat itself, but it sure does rhyme.
Mm-hmm. It sure
and
does.
We're going down it. A lot of people are selling out right now for short-term gain, not understanding the consequences of their actions.
Well.
And I'm just saying. And it's right there. When I navigate the computers, I'm trying to hold on to every little bit of freedom that I can fight for.
That is working in and of itself, though, Cody.
It's work.
And maybe some people are at this point where they're too tired. You know, like me, if I sign up for, say, I switch phones and I got to sign up for my banking app, and it tells me all of the, you know, conditions and how many ropes and wires are getting plugged in and tied on to me, I just say, you know what? I already live in the Matrix. There's nothing they don't know about me anyway.
Well, I'm learning that there is limits to the Matrix, and there are certain little things that we can do.
Yeah.
But it's unfortunately, like you said, it's work.
Mm-hmm.
And the second you're one step ahead, it'll be very temporary.
All right.
You know, you'll say, I'll do my homework. I can do this and have some level of privacy. Boom. They update the system and it's all gone.
All gone. That's right. And there you go, spending more time. Or they update it with a hidden, you know, feature and you can't find it. But I want to thank you for your call and invite some other folks. And it is so good to hear from you, Cody.
All right. Good day.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. So you are listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the metro area, 91.9 if you're in parts east like Hood River, Oregon and White Salmon, Washington. Philomath, Corvallis, Albany are all on 104.3, and the world is on the World Wide Web at kboo.fm. And as you point and click, or you tell your friends to join you in conversation, whether they're from, you know, Gresham or Georgia over in the European continent, you know, tell them, listen, share, and maybe even support KBOO. We've got a $45,000 end of the year goal, and you can help us make that goal. All you have to do is either text the letters KBOO to 44321, or you can go to kboo.fm, as I mentioned earlier, and you can either point on donate, or you can just go to kboo.fm/give. There you go.
Great.
Yes.
So I have a question for you. When
you got me scared because I hear you rubbing your hands together like Snidely Whiplash, and I think, ooh, what kind of question?
I'm rubbing my hands together to stay warm.
Ooh.
that's a whole other thing.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering, you know, when you were speaking to Cody,
mm-hmm.
and I think you said, you mentioned in terms of, you know, when you, like, on your phone or computer and you have this new app and it, you know, before you click on it, you have to read through all the agreements.
Mm-hmm.
I confess, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have the attitude that I heard you said, and I'll repeat, you know, I'm already in the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
But should we? And what if we said, no, I don't agree? Then we don't get the app. I mean,
that's right.
And
they always tell you have that option, but that means that you lose a certain amount of functionality in your life.
Yes.
You know, and we want that degree of functionality because life as we live it now demands it. And, you know, and listeners might remember, oh gosh, this would have been in like 2001, 2002, Cecil and I did a show, and I started out the show outside of the building and called in on my cell phone and talked. And we talked about, you know, how life was starting to demand you have a cell phone because the speed of life had accelerated and some of your business couldn't wait till you got home and listen to your answering machine, provided you had one.
Right.
You know.
Remember that.
Or if you, you know, took a few minutes from work and found the phone in the office and called in and checked your messages at home, you know, and then the speed of life accelerated and we started having smartphones. And I railed against them for the longest until right. One time I was headed down to Southern California and I, with dyslexia, it doesn't matter sometimes how many times you've taken an exit, all of a sudden your brain might say, no, it's that one. No, it's not. You know, and I took the wrong exit and I ended up 70 miles outside of where I wanted to go.
Yes.
You know, and so I had a laptop with me, a little notebook, but I couldn't find a signal that wasn't, you know, secured.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, this wouldn't have happened if I'd had a smartphone.
Exactly.
You know, so there it is. You pulled into it by the pace, the speed, the texture of life.
And so for those who are proud Luddites and say, I refuse to accept this new world we are in, I think many of us find ourselves in similar situation you mentioned. First, I won't get an answer machine because if I'm not there, you'll just have to call me when I am there and I'll pick up the phone. Well, that has changed over time. And so we carry this device with us all the time. And as you mentioned, it probably is a smart device. And suddenly our way of connecting, of being in the world, has transformed itself. And so the implications are manifold. So if you are, for example, your work life has expanded beyond the 8 hours because mm-hmm. you have to be connected all the time. And the challenge for me is sort of like, I am not working these hours. So even if you text me or email me or phone me, I will not respond. And then many people feel like you should be there. You have to be there. And if not, you miss it. So are we just forced into this new universe?
I'm just going to say yeah. And you gave me my perfect entree, which is you're forced into it because you might be missing out. First, I'm going to give the phone number, you know, and then I'm going to instill something I call FOMO here. The phone number is 503-231-8187 to join the phone call. And here's what I mean. You're laughing, Cecil, because you know exactly where I'm going with this. Okay, so you don't want to hear what any work is offering or demanding that you do after 5 o'clock, assuming, you know, that's when you get off, you know, all things being equal, folks. And so, you know, here you are thinking, yeah, I got this covered. I'm just not going to care. Well, you know, psychiatrists and psychologists are hired to figure out how to get past our defenses. Okay, so you won't pick up your doggone phone, huh? Okay, I got some for you, Mr. Cecil. Yeah, I start talking about FOMO, and then you get concerned. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I don't want to succumb to FOMO. And so, you know, there it is. Here you are breaking your rule to be pristine and not be involved in the matrix. What is FOMO? Fear of missing out. And a lot of millennials, not so much the Gen Xers right after the boomers, but more so I think the millennials have been targeted with FOMO. And you know, and of course some of them have used it as a tool as well. But that whole idea that you might be missing out and everybody else has got one is kind of like a new take on Keeping Up with the Joneses. You know, and for those of you who have never heard that expression, because I know it's a generational thing, that was meaning you keep up with your neighbors, whatever they got, you got to have. It's kind of one-upmanship, you know, brinksmanship, whatever you want to call it. But essentially, you're trying to meet somebody else's standard of existence that's maybe contrary to your values, or maybe you just given up your values so you can keep up with them. Anyway, don't succumb to FOMO now. You can call us and join in the conversation here on More Talk Radio. And let's see, our next caller is Jim. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Well enough, thank you.
Good.
I'd like to offer a point for consideration.
Mm-hmm.
AI is one more aspect of the desire for cheap labor, which has been and is at the root of mankind's problems for centuries. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Goodbye.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, cheap labor, because we want to get something done. We want to get it done fast. I would also say, though, AI takes it one step further, because you can get human beings to do things, but there are tasks which are, I'll say, Herculean, you know, that are bigger than the average human being is able to do. And even if you have compounded staffing hours, you know, it may be bigger than they're able to do. So now there's AI, which might be stronger and faster. It may not necessarily be smarter, but it is stronger and it's faster, and it is not affected by things that can cause deviation, like emotion, like not being in an optimal state of wellness, like distraction because you care about something, which ties right back into emotion. So, you know, you want something that cannot be distracted as well. And if you don't believe that's important, why do we put blinders around horses or have noise-canceling headphones, okay?
Indeed.
But so let's go to our next caller. Jason, good morning. You on the air?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for the call. I just thought that artificial intelligence basically goes against our natural intelligence.
I mean,
your example of losing your way on the roads,
mm-hmm.
a couple generations back, the common intelligence would be, you know, people have a paper road map in their glove box,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Or they just kind of have a common sense of direction in general. And so I think artificial intelligence takes away our natural abilities to think for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
And it's a de-evolution of the species. Because our brains are naturally more intelligent than any computer. And that means any person alive has a supercomputer in their brains already. And it basically, people think that the smartphone in their hand is smarter than their own natural intelligence. So then they, they lose their personalities. They lose their creativity.
Do you have a smartphone?
they lose their ability to create their own reality.
Jason, do you have a smartphone?
Well, you know, I have. I am connected to the internet.
No, but that's not what I'm asking. I have a very specific reason that I'm asking if you have a smartphone.
Well, I have a smart brain.
Okay, so you don't use a smartphone, right? So here's something I want to say, because I kind of want to push back a little bit. You don't lose your intelligence or your curiosity with a smartphone, because I tell you, I railed against them for a long time. And for me, it's not a matter of not knowing how to read a map. I not only learned to read how to map by orienteering as a kid. I did it as a cadet in the Air Force. I did it as an adult, you know, when I used to be a courier for FedEx, and I like to go exploring. I drive cross country and, you know, lots of places. It's a matter of the, you know, I'm dyslexic, and so sometimes I will say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing because my brain, it can't hold on. I literally don't know my right from the left sometimes. But so, you know, it's not that people lose it. What they may lose, however, that kind of validates your point, is the will to dig deeper than the instant fact presented to themselves.
It's the convenience factor.
Well, it's not just a convenience factor. For some people, it is a necessary lifeline, you know.
I get that, but what I mean is the instant connection to any kind of entertainment or anything that distracts you from your own sense of your own personality and creativity.
Well, smartphones don't necessarily do that. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's all in the person. In a general sense,
I feel the de-evolution of the species tied to the artificial intelligence and people basically allowing themselves to feel inferior to the computer.
I don't feel inferior to the computer, and I'm sure there's a lot of people who don't, and that's why I asked if you use one, because if you use one, you'll see that there are times when those avenues present themselves, and is whether you choose to go that way or not. There are a lot of people who have smartphones and much more smart products than you and I do, and they still maintain that sense of self, sense of drive and curiosity and critical thinking. It doesn't take it away, but if you're a lazy person by nature, or you're inclined to just want to go along to get along, yes, you can, but it's like money. It is in and of itself innocuous, is what you do with it.
It's like bottled water. Once you sell something that's natural, you sell the ability to communicate. It used to be conversation and paper and pencil, and you know, these are elements. These are things from nature.
Well, pencils and paper are not necessarily elements from nature. You don't find a pencil on the ground. Growing.
I agree, but the technology it was more natural just a little bit ago, and I feel the artificial intelligence is just taking us in a bad direction overall. But
I agree with you there. Yeah, I to the amount you can, since you're not fond of it, you know, try to limit your exposure to it and look at why you're using it. If it's something that you can do yourself, by all means, you know, because you right now are exhibiting one of the concerns that I had when I was not wanting to use higher technology as much. And then I kind of I've stayed critical, but I've kind of realized I have to because of the higher functioning I have in my life now. But I appreciate your perspective. I got
thanks, Celeste.
Huh?
Thank you, Celeste. I really appreciate you, Celeste. And I just want to say generally that if we can use the technology as an organization for progress and peace,
amen,
for society,
yes,
then that's the best we can do with it. Thanks for the time. I hope you guys have a good day today.
And you have a wonderful time, too. And I appreciate your desire to remain as pristine as possible, because that's where we should be aiming. Thank you for your call.
So about
1439. Mm-hmm. Gutenberg, is that where you're going?
That's where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
And by time 1455 was the first time that the Gutenberg Bible was published,
mm-hmm.
and a whole bunch of monks got very upset.
Yeah. Tell us why.
Well, because all of a sudden you have this easily affordable way in which you could create a Bible, whereas part of the as a part of their spiritual practice and discipline was the creation of Bibles with great pieces of art and time, mm-hmm. in terms of writing, printing each letter individually, and all of a sudden that went by.
Well, you know, one of the things that people forget, and this is why we should remember all work is sacred, is that it was part of their worship as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's like if you have a job, and maybe this speaks to the great resignation now, who knows, and it's eating your soul, you know, you can't find a time for worship in it. And you know, and I'm, you know, even though I have my own specific faith base, I'm not speaking of a specific faith. I'm speaking of man's ability to commune with something higher and it being taken away by, you know, soul-sucking jobs. Well, they lost the opportunity to do worship in their work and then also to present something that was high and inspiring to other people. And so, yeah, of course they would rebel because they saw it coming, you know? They saw it coming.
Let's hear what Joan has to say this morning. Good morning. Thank you for waiting.
Good morning, Joan.
Oh, hi there. Thank you. I do have something to say on the iPhone question.
Mm-hmm.
And my friends have probably heard this a million times, but I really think it needs to be in the public discussion. Years ago, I tried to buy an iPhone,
mm-hmm.
and I discovered to my horror that I am very sensitive to the radio frequency that it puts out.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of research on this, including I managed to get through to somebody at Apple. It's called capacity technology, and the iPhone emits a volt, a very small voltage at the corner of the device, mm-hmm. and when you put your hand on the screen, your hand makes an interface with the device, and that's how it works.
Yeah, it's called haptic feedback. Mm-hmm.
Right. It was affecting me in a very bad way, and I was getting symptoms in my hands and wrists. All I had to do was touch the thing, and when I first got it, I was learning how to use it, and after 20 minutes, I had this horrible sensation going from my fingertips through my hands to my wrists up to my elbows, okay? I took it back to the store because I thought there was something wrong with it,
mm-hmm.
and found out that I am sensitive to that particular technology, which has to do with touch screens.
Mm-hmm.
I tried all kinds of ways to modify it. I simply can't use them, and yet they are ubiquitous.
Mm-hmm. And what was that, situation or dynamic you mentioned, capacity what?
Capacity technology.
Okay. And when I called Apple to find out, I managed to fight my way through their voicemail.
Mm-hmm, their AI.
He said, you're not the first customer mm-hmm. who has complained about this. And one manager at a store, a technology store, told me that another customer who tried to buy one felt like he was being struck by lightning when he touched the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I can use any touchscreen device, period. And what the guy at Apple said is, again, you're not the first customer who has complained about this. And I said, really? And what are you guys going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we're working on it, but it's a few years out,
mm-hmm.
which means they know that some people can be injured by these devices.
Yes.
And the injury I got lasted a month and a half,
mm-hmm.
and the doctors couldn't do anything. And I was told, well, just use your hands as little as possible until the symptoms go away,
wow.
which they eventually did. Try using your hands as little as possible for a month and a half. Hmm. That's called disability.
And technology right. that does that to us is not helpful technology. You know, it
exactly.
diminishes our capacity.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not talking about that they're not useful,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not talking about being a Luddite, although in a certain way I am.
Mm-hmm.
But what I am basically in the situation of is that these things are starting to be required, and some people can't use them, and there, some people can't afford them.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
It is leaving people, not only leaving people out, but it's forcing, there is such a thing as electronic pollution, mm-hmm. and some people can't handle it. And I talked to a friend of mine who is very knowledgeable about electrical engineering, and he said, I said, what is this, what's going on with me? And he said, the device is injecting a signal into your nervous system mm-hmm. that your nervous system can't handle.
That's it.
Meanwhile, millions of these things are sold, people give them to their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And another person I talked to at the public library said, yeah, some of these devices are designed so that machines can talk to each other with no regard for biological life.
Okay. Well, I wish you'd have called a little earlier, because we have to let you go. We got a full buffer, but you brought up a lot of interesting points.
Like I said, I'm driving my friends crazy. But I sound like the ancient mariner with the albatross.
No, it needs to be said. Okay. Well, Joan, we got to go. We got some other folks here. But thank you for your call. And, you know, and there are people who wear gloves sometimes because they have to use the technology, and they have these screen-sensitive gloves.
Yes.
But that haptic feedback, I had to reduce it because I, too, could feel it. I'm like one of these highly sensitive people, and I feel lots of stuff. And, you know, it makes it difficult for all of us. And so don't think this is a benign technology. And think about this. If there's some of us whose sensitivity is so high that we can feel this energy, how have the most of us become acclimated to it? What did we lose when we became acclimated enough to use this technology? But let's go to our next caller. Good morning, Ron.
Hello. Yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting when you think about, what a lot of technology is supposed to be initially for, supposed to be for innovation, but when you really think about the implications of it, it's kind of like to make some kind of accounting for society. And I think one of the dark parts of how the technology is used is through information gathering mm-hmm. and a lot of this data transition. If you really look at now it's like a message could just be instantaneous, or coordination could be instantaneous as a result of the tool of information. Now, one of the things is that could be good and bad. Now,
yep.
If we really look at the implications of a lot of political unrest around the world, a lot of information and data that's being used to try to make determinations on certain cultures, those are some of the dark ways that information is being used, you mm-hmm. know, against us, and just the whole effort that we take at these devices, you know, it's pretty interesting. But then the last, I thought I wanted to add also, and this is a couple of points, just from the lady that you just disconnected from.
Mm-hmm.
I think about electrical engineering. He should have told her that when we use these devices and we put them up to our ear,
mm-hmm.
that our body, our ears, go through a certain amount of what they call resistance. That I forgot the physical term for that.
Impedance. It's called impedance.
But what causes it, a lot of it, is that the way the audible system receives a signal is mm-hmm. that it actually goes through the clear, just tries to clear a path in your ear. And then when you get that heat from the radiation, that can radiate through the ear. Those are some of the opportunities that I could take to cause these different cancers
mm-hmm.
and things like that. So that sounds like more of like a physiological reaction.
It could
lady was saying,
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of a deliberate thing, you know, from information. But yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, you get too close to the oven, you know, and then you can get hot, you know. It's the
right.
same concept when I hear it goes through a certain amount of, you know how, like, you know, the physical term, like if you have a slope, and then you have a certain amount of resistance when you get up of that slope. That's how the ear
mm-hmm.
Tries to hear words. And then if you try to do it over like a phone, something that's generating heat, then that can cause cancerous cells.
Well, that's been an issue from the beginning. People have said they've had issues with it, mm-hmm. and that's why headphones and wireless technology have become so big. But one of the challenges with wireless technology is there are a lot of people who are sensitive to it as well. And so, you know, even some of our workarounds seem like they're just as harmful as the, you know, the issue itself. But we've got another caller on the line. I'm really sorry that I have to cut you short like this, Ron.
No problem.
All right. Thank you for your call. Yes. And our last caller, Arthur, good morning.
Good morning, Celeste. Good morning, Cecil.
Good morning.
Good morning. So what's on your mind?
Well, I use a cell phone, but just for talking, not for, you know, communication, other kinds of communication, just talk and try to stay away from, depending on that first form, it's like the Evolution of Man series where you go from chimpanzee to the gorilla, the Cro-Magnon, the, and then there's one, a new one now that's a man walking along and he's got his cell phone. He's bent over again. He's staring at his cell phone.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you also said earlier about the artificial intelligence, and I think the one that most I'm concerned with is the autonomous vehicle. You did mention the Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, no, it's transportation. I understand about it. It's my field of study. Mm-hmm. And the self-driving car is nonsense. It's never going to be made entirely safe. And I say they're doing it for the wrong reasons. Like, the wrong reason would be to allow cars to tailgate. You know? Now,
well, I don't know if that was the main reason they made them, but it does present a problem because it's been shown that some of them have faulty distance determination.
Sure, but the highway departments want the public to think that they can manage traffic if they can get more of it all together tighter in a row.
Well.
And that's a dishonest presentation of the technology. Mm-hmm. They could get it to prevent people from tailgating. That's while you're still in control of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And they could use the technology to prevent you from speeding. Like you can go up to the speed limit, but not faster. That would be a good use of the technology. But they don't want to do that. They don't want to just keep us driving.
Well, it depends because, you know, even though technology may want to keep us driving, here's one of the challenges is if you look at city planners, they want you to do less driving. So somewhere
the city planners are.
No, they want less. Pretty. They want less driving. That's why, you know, you talk a lot about walkability of a neighborhood. And that's why you hear a lot about compact environments.
I know. I hear a lot about it. I hear a lot about it, and I don't see it happening coming out of, no matter what they say.
Mm-hmm.
We're ending up driving more. And a lot of the actions they're taking aren't working very well at all. So I have to agree in some sense. I know they talk like it's going to happen. But,
I hear you.
So I say the Tesla really isn't a very good car itself, and it's not the better technology that we should be pursuing in order to really reduce the amount of driving that we've got to do to, end global warming and manage traffic, build the cities to where they're really more walkable places. And then there's two other types of vehicle. There's the hydrogen fuel cell.
We only have about a minute left.
All right, then I'll finish then.
Uh-huh.
And the third is the hybrid and the plug-in hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
And the plug-in hybrid is really the most advanced technology that we are denying at our own peril.
Okay.
So I just pass that along. People got to think about it. It's like the Daimler electric truck with the giant batteries.
Okay, Ron, we got to go.
Or you can build 500 plug-in hybrids.
Okay, thank you. We got to go. Okay, so, you know, we talked a little bit about some of the outgrowth of being in the matrix, you know, like self-driving technology and needing plugs, as well as some of the challenges, both health-wise and psychological. Some people feel it's a threat to our health, and other people have felt that it's a threat to our ability to thrive and be curious and self-actualize. But the bottom line is, we're thinking about the fact that we're in an environment that may not be our best environment for us. There's a physical environment, there's a mental environment, minimally those two, and it's up to all of us to look to each other's, you know, take care of each other's needs before we worry about our wants. So maybe one thing we can do is stay connected, stay talking, stay thinking, and stay looking out and serving each other. Don't forget, if you appreciate this platform that lets you do this, be sure to support your community station, KBOO, by going to kboo.fm and donate now for our end of the year giving, as well as text KBOO to 44321. And stay tuned for the Old Mo Variety Hour and more, because we do this for you. Where? Here on your community connection, KBOO. Thanks to Ray, and thank you, Cecil.
You are listening to
Good morning. You are tuned to KBOO Portland. Welcome to the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm John Nelson, reminding you to do your part to